the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a great old song from the Big Green Tent and continue with our series of messages on the cross of Christ as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. And we'll get to that in a moment, but as I said, we have a great song for you, Nothing But the Blood. Now, of course, nothing but the blood of Jesus can save us from hell. It's a great song, and I know that you will enjoy it. So please enjoy the music today, and then after that, Dr. Green.
Away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Direct us, our Father, as we look into thy word. I pray thee, O God, may the Holy Spirit enlighten us and guide us into the truth and understanding that thou wouldst have us see and understand and appropriate today. Save the lost and blessed believers in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're studying Calvary. Last week, I talked about Jesus, prophet, priest, and king, and I said all of these are because of Calvary. Now, I spent a couple of days last week talking about redemption and salvation, and I was convicted over the weekend. I studied more, and I read other scriptures, and I ran references, and I felt in my heart that I should go further in this because, after all, we're not in a hurry. We want to see and learn what God would have us see as believers, and we want sinners saved. So I'm studying with you day by day, and I'm trying to show you the difference in redemption and salvation. Now, wait just a minute. Now, listen carefully. I'm not saying that redemption does not include salvation, and I'm not saying that they have much in common. But to redeem means to regain possession of by repurchase. Now, salvation or to save means to make safe or to rescue or deliver from danger, to preserve, to safeguard, to keep. If you save pennies, you keep them, you don't spend them. You have a little bank or some kind of a container and you drop all your pennies. A lot of people do that. And then when they have some small need, they go to the penny jar. Now, you save pennies. That means that you put them in a place of safekeeping, at least as far as it's humanly possible. Now, I'm not trying to dissect and chop up salvation into bits or redemption into bits. But I'm trying to show you just what Jesus accomplished. He said it is finished, it is accomplished, and beloved, the salvation that Jesus accomplished and the redemption that he made possible for us is perfect in every respect, every might. It is perfect. I don't have the words in my language. I can't utter the words to express what I'd like to say. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1, we have our text for the series. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now that's 1 Corinthians 1:23, 24. We preach Christ crucified, not Christ the babe in a manger, not Christ the miracle worker, not Christ the healer. He was all of this, but more. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, yesterday, I said in the New Testament there are two principal words that speak of redemption. Now, I can't say them. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'll spell them in the English. Now, this is the English spelling. A-G-O-R-A-Z-O, that's one. L-U-T-R-O-O is the other. Now, the first one signifies to buy something in the market, to acquire something by paying a price. And then the second one means to release by virtue of a price that has been paid. To release, that is, you buy a bird and set it free. You buy an animal and set it free. You buy it out of the market. Now, I'm talking about the first one, A-G-O-R-A-Z-O. It occurs first in Matthew 13:44. A man buys a field, and he hides a treasure in that field. Now, the field is the world, we read in Matthew 13:38. And in verse 46 of the same chapter, the man buyeth a pearl of great price. Now, Jesus loved the world. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, he purchased the world. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness are of the world, and they that dwell therein. But the world is not redeemed. All men are not redeemed. All men are not redeemed. The redeemed are those who have yielded to the one who repurchased us with the blood of the Lamb. Now, we can't stay there any longer. The key verses on this is in Revelation 5:9 and Acts 20 and verse 28. Acts 5:9. God purchased the church with God's own blood. What a price. The Lamb, by the blood, redeemed us to God, and we are redeemed for eternity because the blood is incorruptible and the purchased possession is God's for all eternity. Writing to the believers in the church at Corinth, Paul expresses in chapter 6 and verse 20 this tremendous truth. Listen what he says. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. Now, God purchased us out of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. In John 17, the Lord's intercessory prayer just before Calvary, he prays to the Heavenly Father to protect his little children, his sons. They are in the world. He said, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but keep them from the world. Now, we are bought. We are bought with a price. Now, we are commanded, since we are bought and since we are not our own, we are commanded to glorify God in our body and to glorify God in our spirit because they belong to God. Now, look at Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, God purchased us with or by means of the blood of the Lamb, and he delivered us from the law. Now, that doesn't mean that God has done away with his law, but beloved, you just can't imagine. If you could read my mail, you'd understand a little more fully what I'm saying now. But you can't imagine the people in America who belong to Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, and other churches, Pentecostal and other churches, that are under law. They are under law, definitely under law. They sing about grace, grace, God's grace greater than all our sins. But then they are under law. The minister puts them under law. And the Sunday school teacher puts them under law. And they're mixing law and grace. Thou shalt not. Now, we do not because of grace. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not. Who walk not? Now, the reason a believer does not get drunk, and the reason a believer does not take God's name in vain, and the reason a believer does not gamble is because they are a believer. We walk not after the world because we are the sons of God in the world, but not of the world, and the world is repulsive. I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about sin and the things of the world. These things are repulsive to a child of God. Now, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. The law killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. The letter of the law killeth. No man ever kept the law but Jesus. Jesus kept the law, every jot, every tittle, Matthew 5:17, Jesus kept the law. Therefore, by means of his finished work, by means of his shed blood, we are purchased out of bondage. We are purchased out of and set free from the law of sin and death. Now listen, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness of the law, might be fulfilled in us who walk not. Now, it doesn't say if we walk not, but who walk not after the flesh. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us because Christ is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. All right. So, he hath redeemed us, being made a curse for us. He purchased us and set us free. All right. Now, in the fourth chapter and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons, to deliver them and adopt them into God's family, to deliver them from the bondage of the law, and to give them liberty. Now, we have, by means of the death of Jesus, by means of Calvary, we are set free. Well, you say, preacher, that I can just go out and get drunk and cuss and kill and lie and cheat and steal and gamble. Listen, friend. Listen, dear friend. If you do those things, you've never been redeemed. You've never been born again. You've never been set free. You are in bondage. You've always been in bondage. You've never known God. Because if you want to do those things and long to do those things, that is certain proof that you do not have a new heart. And when God redeems and when God delivers, he puts within the inner man a new heart, a new spirit. Now in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ hath profited you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. That is, grace and law does not, cannot, will not mix. You are either under grace or law. You do not mix. If you are trying to keep part of the law, then you have fallen from grace. That is, you're not in grace, and you never have been. Now the Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He was made a curse, that we might be delivered from the curse. He was made of a woman in a body of humiliation, that he might die the death, even the death of the cross, to deliver us from the bondage of the law and give us liberty in Christ. Now, the verse that I want us to really study is in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Well, let me read verse 5 and 6 to get the connection. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made, M-A-D-E, made. He hath made. We did not make ourselves, we did not gradually become, but he made us accepted in the Beloved. In whom? In the Beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now I'm going to talk about that verse, and we may finish and we may not. Number one, we have redemption. We are purchased, repurchased, paid for, and set free, liberty. If the Son, therefore, shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth. John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you're free. All right? Now, we are redeemed, we are set free by means of his blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, I can't emphasize that too strongly, beloved. You say, Brother Green, you've said that 50 times in the past 3-4 weeks. I'll say it 50 more in the next couple of weeks. I'll say it 50 more. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, having made peace through his blood, redeemed us unto God by his blood, by means of his blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood. That is, the means of redemption is through his blood. The redemption that we have is through his blood. And there is no other means of redemption. You cannot do enough good works. You cannot live in such a way that you can bring about your redemption. Blood, his blood. Now, the measure, just how far does this redemption reach? According to the riches of his grace. We are redeemed through his blood according to the riches of his grace. Now, what does he mean by according to the riches of his grace? According to the riches of his grace. Did you know that if God had not been a God of grace, God would never have allowed Jesus to die on the cross? But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, made for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that Jesus, by the grace of God, Hebrews 2:9, Jesus, by the grace of God, unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God. Jesus, by the grace of God, hath tasted death for every man. Now, I want you to underline every man. Some of you still don't agree with me that God purchased the world. You see, the whole world had a convulsion and was twisted out of shape and without form and void, and the whole creation is groaning and travailing now in pain because of sin. Now, God loves the world. God made the world, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And one day, all creation will be delivered, but only men who are redeemed, I'm talking about men and women, will be those who are redeemed. Now, one day God will deliver the air, the earth, and the rivers, and everything from the curse. Because these were made subject to bondage, not willingly. Adam sinned. The animals didn't sin. The stars didn't sin. The atmosphere did not sin. Adam sinned. And God provided the price to repurchase, to redeem. And God hath redeemed, and God is redeeming moment by moment anyone who will believe in the shed blood of Jesus. But the measure, the strength, the value of his redemption is through, according to his grace, the riches of God's grace. And man is definitely out of it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Are you saved by the blood? If you're not, you're lost. Father, in the name of Jesus, through the shed blood of Jesus, by the grace of our God, save many poor lost souls now. In his name, amen.
Friends, this is David Green again. I hope you were blessed by the message today and will tune in again each and every time that you can. And before we close today, I want to tell you about our gift offer in. But before that, I first want to thank all of you who have ordered our gift offer M, and it is still available. If you have written down the information and can order it, you can certainly do that. But we do have a new gift offer for you, and we are calling it our gift offer in. Now, this offer contains a verse-by-verse commentary on two of the New Testament books in the Bible, and also a beautiful album of music by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians. And it's available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $25 or more. Now, please send more if you can. Your gifts are needed each and every day to keep the Gospel Hour on the air. And after you hear more about it, if you would like to order several sets of this offer to share with your church or others or your Sunday school class, you may certainly do so. Just tell me how many sets of offer in that you want, and please send a donation of at least $25 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you first the musical album, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, 14 great songs on a compact disc, all by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians. Songs such as Christ Returneth, Saved by Grace, He Leadeth Me, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men, and so on. Beautiful, beautiful music, 14 songs that you will enjoy, everyone. Then we have my father's verse-by-verse commentary on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the epistles of Paul, the apostle, to the Thessalonians. Now, this is a hardback book, 308 pages long, including a detailed introduction to the book by my dad. A wonderful study. So, to get both the book and the musical album, just ask for gift offer N as in new, and send your gift of at least $25. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.